John Safran, welcome to SBS Radio.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's a real pleasure. We are here to talk politics
and
to talk religion as well. It's two subjects that you particularly love.
Yes, because it all starts conflicts. I like conflict. And so if I come into a situation and there's not a fight going on, I know I'll start talking about religion and then the fights will start.
Is that what you do on a daily basis?
Yeah. It's just sort of like, conflict's more exciting than just sort of like strolling down the street.
So you've got this documentary.
Documentary.
Coming up on SBS. It's Sunday, 26th of June. It's at 8:30 on SBS television. It's called The Goddamn Election.
Yes.
What made you think about this, about the relation between religion and this particular election this year?
Well, I was out hanging out at the anti-Islam rallies because I was writing a book, which I still am writing, about the kinds of people and the parties that, turn up to those like anti-mosque protests or whatever. And then the election's called and suddenly some of these people, like, they're running for parliament. I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I pulled the brakes on the book and decided to follow this story.
So you're following what you call the micro parties, the small parties that are running for parliament.
Yes. But mainly, the ones where there's religion
attached. What makes this year a particular election for religion? Because we see, I've already voted.
Yes.
But I saw on the ballot, there are many parties that are standing against religion and actually for religion as well. So religion is really a debate.
Yes.
At least on the ballot.
Well, I think Islam is a big reason for that, because then, because that's, just because of things that have gone on in the world, it means that these parties are formed saying we're going to challenge Islam in Australia. So there's that side to it. But on the other side to it, one of the interesting things I've discovered is that for people who have, their families have been in Australia for many generations, they've kind of got the message that you're not meant to talk about religion. Like, that's a private matter. And you're definitely not meant to sort of like bring it up in politics. So even someone like Tony Abbott, who was a devout Catholic and had a lot of power, even he knew to say, don't worry, guys, my Catholicism isn't going to influence my decisions in Parliament or anything like that. But you have, because of migration, you have, like, for instance, you have devout Christians who come to Australia and they just haven't grown up like sort of like getting that message, and so they're very happy and feel free to sort of just say, oh, no, I'm a Christian. And wouldn't it be good if there was, people in Parliament who are Christians and they, follow the great message of the Bible, and that would help Australia. So they're uninhibited. And particularly one party I cover in my documentary, Rise Up Australia, is run by this Christian dude, Pastor Daniel Nalia. And he immigrated from Sri Lanka in the late 90s. A lot of his religious congregation, also immigrants. And they just sort of are uninhibited about, bringing religion into politics.
Yeah, the message is pretty strong. I've read on Rise Up Australia, and their message is pretty strong.
Yeah, and you find that, if you watch Q&A on ABC and there's someone, some white guy, some Anglo from the Australian Christian Party, even he will kind of frame his message as if it's not religious. So it's like, I'm against gay marriage, but it's got to do with tradition and it's got to do with values and it's got to do with and all these things that aren't quite religion. And then I found with, some of these Christian parties where there's immigrants, like, they just don't care. They'll say, oh, listen, it says in the Bible in Leviticus 20:13 that, there shouldn't be, this gay thing's not natural. God doesn't want it. And so therefore that's that. So they're far more frank. And maybe sort of like less, more honest about what they're thinking than the Anglos.
If we talk about the Islamic faith, why is the Islamic faith at the center point of the discussion? Because there are many micro parties you talk to which are quite openly against.
Yes.
They might not say, there's a good quote where he said, I'm not against Muslims, but we are against Islam.
Yes.
Why is that? Why is that the center point this year?
Well, I think there's just, it's a combination of two things. One is just sincerity, in that they are actually anti-Islam, And then, but then you have these people who actually have other sort of agendas that aren't quite anti-Islam, and they've seen that this is an acceptable way to get their message out there. So a group like some of the members of a group called the United Patriots Front, and they're seen as white nationalists and to some people, and they tried to get a party together for the election, but they didn't get enough, you know, signatures in time. And I got the impression, especially one of their main leaders is, and he's actually frank about this, he kind of didn't think about Islam one way or the other, you know, for until quite recently. And he's more coming from a, you know, he's a nationalist, a white nationalist, and it's, but, you know, to be a white nationalist, like, no one's going to get on. That's, like, so toxic to 99% of people. So by him sort of, like, framing what he's trying to do against about anti-Islam, and I'm concerned about mosques and I'm concerned about terrorism, it's sort of like a way for him to get into the acceptable, an acceptable space where, like, people will actually turn up and listen to him. And then there's even some – I'm Jewish myself, and there's even some Jewish people who, like, their concern might be about the Israel-Palestine conflict. And that's sort of just a bit like, why would a mainstream Australian care about that? And so then they can kind of get involved in these anti-Islam things as – And but that's really what they're on about. It's really about Israel Palestine, but they'll sort of like bend it so it's like, oh, I'm concerned about Islam. So yeah, you have a combination of people who are just concerned about Islam sincerely, and then you've got these other people who are sort of like shaping what their real agenda is into this kind of space, because this space is relatively acceptable.
Coming from France, for me, for people that are like me, secularism is as important as the right to bear arms for an American. You know, that's as big as it is.
Yeah.
I can't really see this in the election today. Secularism is not really a point of discussion. Religion is.
Yes. Well, I think one of the reasons for that is because I don't know, you'd know more than me about this, but Australians, I think, often don't have, like, think things through a lot. A lot's like impulse. And so to have a philosophical framing for what you're believing is, and having discussions about it as you're growing up or whatever, like, it kind of doesn't happen as much in Australia. So yeah, so we get in this time and all these conflicts are going on in the world and there's terrorism and stuff, and we kind of don't quite know how to talk about it. And I think that's a reason why, like, secularism isn't a discussion, because for it to be a discussion, it would rely on Australia being the kind of place where we grew up and had sort of, you know, conversations about, you know, philosophies and how people believed certain things in the past and how they believe them now. And that sort of doesn't happen. Like, on my journey, not so much in the documentary, but the book I'm writing, I constantly meet people where, like, I put something to them and they just haven't thought about it. Sort of like they're simultaneously involved in, like, a very radical group, but they sort of just haven't thought through the most sort of, like, basic thing about it. And they're confused about it. They don't know how to answer questions about things you just think would be, like, the simplest thing to answer. But but also I think the other tangle in why isn't Australia as secular is because perhaps the left in France are happier to kind of criticise Islam, whilst the left in Australia is still this sort of awkward tangle. It's like, oh, are we picking on a minority group, and they're brown and they're immigrant? And it's sort of like, I think that makes the left very uncomfortable. So they're not going to stand up for secularism because they think, oh, hang on, if we're standing up for secularism, we're sort of attacking a minority group, the Muslims, and they're very uncomfortable with that.
Okay, it's interesting. See, it comes back to the first comment you made. In France, we've been brought up like this. Yeah. I've been brought up that secularism doesn't mean being against a religion. It's actually being for the religion, as long as it happens between your two ears, in your head, not in mine. And you're not forcing me. But that's probably a given in our values.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not the same here.
The lefties don't really they haven't thought this through, and so it really is a kind of an awkward sort of conversation that sort of no one wants to have. But I'll give you an example of how sort of people don't think this through is that on ABC Radio about a month ago, there was the disc jockey, and he's anyway, I'll tell you what happened. A caller rang up and he was a guy. He said, I've got a friend and he's Muslim and I really like him and he's great. He goes, but we're having this discussion and he said that, you know, if a woman commits adultery, she should be stoned. And I'm so confused about it. I don't know what to say to him. And the radio host said to this guy, he goes, oh, just talk to him about the footy. Like, don't worry about it. It's like, you know, and the guy's going, yeah, but I'm really disturbed. He goes, oh, listen, all these different religion groups just believe different things. And, like, don't worry about it. And what was interesting to me was that this radio host thought someone holding a religious belief is different to their opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, they somehow think it's two different things. It's like, oh, for 2 hours on Sunday morning, someone goes into a church and they hold a religious belief. And then they, like, for the rest of the time, they're out there and that's their real opinion. And I'm like, no, you don't understand it. Like, I've hung out with devout people of different faiths my whole life. And, like, their religious opinion is what their belief is. And in the case of this radio host, it was even more ironic because he's done a lot of work for preventing violence against women. And he's very vocal about it. And it's like, but for these sort of, like, I don't know. He kind of doesn't connect the dots that, like, that person holding that religious belief is their opinion.
Yeah, mind you, footy these days, they can't even make right boy men and women, you know. Yes. That so let alone religion. The million-dollar question is, is religion using the political parties or political parties using religion, do you think?
There's so much...
That's the chicken and the egg.
Yeah, there's so much mutual using in this space. It's amazing. I don't know if this quite answered your question, but when I turned up to the anti-Islam rallies, so you had these guys who were like more the classic white nationalists, but then you had people like Pastor Daniel, who was like a brown immigrant, and his little group of a multi-ethnic group also, and your instinct is to say, oh, the white people are exploiting the non-white people, like, as so they have moral cover, so they can say, oh, we're not racist, we've got these brown people involved in our movement. But the more I sort of got involved, and I realized on another level, Pastor Daniel was exploiting the white people in a manner, because he passionately believes what he believes against Islam because he's an evangelical Christian, and he knew that by getting these white people, these white regularist, quote-unquote regularist Anglo-Australians involved, sort of made his strange evangelical message more palatable to mainstream Australia. So everyone's just exploiting everyone.
Okay. What do you make of Pauline Hanson coming back? What do you make of her?
Oh, well, I interviewed her for the...
In a shopping centre, yeah?
Yes, in the shopping centre. And the reason I wanted to talk to her is because she's formed an alliance with Pastor Daniel Nalea, this guy I keep talking about, and a political alliance of such. And it occurred to me that Pauline Hanson was against Asian immigration from Asian countries in the late 1990s, and Pastor Daniel immigrated from an Asian country in the late 1990s. So, and so I was like, what's going on? Anyway, so I confronted her about that, and she, of course, had a... She denied she was ever anti-Asian immigration and started talking about this woman from Laos she employed in her fish and chip shop. But, she didn't really have an answer. I actually got the feeling, I mean, more from Fred Nile than from her. Fred Nile's another long-serving politician like Pauline Hanson, who's sort of only recently become anti-Islam. And sort of – and it is weird because you sort of – especially with Fred Nile, I don't think his heart's in it. I think it's like he just goes through the talking points because, like, he's picked up that some of his voters wants to hear it. So it becomes this weird thing where, because usually you're accusing someone of, I put it to you, you're a racist, or I put it to you that you're an Islamophobe. But, like, to Fred Nile, it's like, I put it to you, you're not an Islamophobe and you're faking it for votes. And, Yeah, Pauline Hanson has totally dropped being anti-Asian and has just picked up being anti-Muslim. So who knows where she'll be in 10 years' time. I asked her, I said, I can't trust, why can people trust you? I always have, like, weird conversations with these people. Like, so I'm like, how can people trust you that you're going to remain Islamophobic and you're not going to, like, in 15 years' time, you're not going to come up with some excuse why it's really great we're living under Sharia law? And she just said, no, I will never wear a burqa. Okay. So yeah.
And Jackie Lambie in all this?
Jackie Lambie. I didn't speak to her, and she's yes, I can't really speak that much of her. I spoke to Sam Dastieri from the Labour Party, who grew up Muslim but now an atheist, and he said he thought that Jackie Lambie was sincere, even though he didn't agree with her, and compared with someone like Pauline Hanson or Fred Narway, where he was like these people didn't, they just pick up on whatever they think is going to play well to the votes, and they don't even care about it. I can't figure out, is it better? Maybe, is it better if you're a fake racist rather than a racist? I don't know what's better.
Is it hard for you to go to vote? You're so deep into this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I guess conflicted.
Yeah, it's because I looked at the Senate ballot. There were so many people I wanted to put last. I don't know how I'm going to choose. So I don't like voting because, I mean, I vote, but I always find it very painful because it seems important and it feels really important to me. But there's just something wrong with all the parties. There was 1 year a friend of mine ran in the Senate, and that made it really easy. It was just like, I'll vote for my friend. Mm-hmm. So maybe I should just become friends with someone and then make it easier for myself.
Hey, one last question. What did you learn in this documentary? Is there anything that surprised you coming into it and coming out of it?
Yeah, probably the stuff I talked about another sort of interesting thing that I learned is that for someone like Pastor Daniel and people who like came out who have immigrated more recently, they didn't live through Pauline Hanson the first time around, and they haven't lived through these other sort of like cycles of xenophobia. And so they don't see what they're doing in that framework. Like, it's sort of like bizarre to get your head around, but like if you're like an Anglo-Aussie and your family's been here for generations, like you look at the 2016 anti-Islam movement, and you go, this is just like when Pauline Hanson did that in the 90s and like, what happened in the 70s but if you've just immigrated more recently, you just haven't lived through that, and it's like hard for you to process like the anti-Islam as being a continuation of those sorts of things.
Okay. It's called The Goddamn Election, so don't tell us even more, so we have to watch it.
Yes.
It's Sunday night on SBS. John Saffron, thank you.
Thank you very much.
SBS World News vous apporte les actualités mondiales et nationales. Écoutez les dernières nouvelles à la radio du lundi au vendredi à 18h et regardez notre journal télévisé sur SBS tous les jours à 18h30. Pour plus d'informations, sbs.com.au/news.